Well, good evening, by the way. It's good to have you with us tonight for the prayer meeting service. I appreciate each and every one of you that's been praying for the church, praying for each other, praying for your pastor. And I think especially tonight as we go through the prayer requests, we should pray for our president and pray for those that are making decisions right now that are going to affect every one of us. I was talking to my brother a little while ago, and he said he had enough work to go through the end of May, and the phone's not ringing right now, so he's hoping and praying that something will turn loose and the phone will start ringing. Let me give you some prayer requests tonight, and we'll have prayer. I appreciate so very much each one of you tuning in tonight. I want you to remember, if you will, Samantha, the little five-year-old baby. She's at Vanderbilt. She's going to have heart surgery in 4 or 5 weeks. She's got a feeding tube in right now. Remember her, please, in prayer. Sister Mandy Hagee, she's out of the hospital now and at home with her dad, spending some time with him. And I'd appreciate if you'd continue to remember Mandy. Continue to remember Brother Brian. What a blessing it was to see him on the video. He was concerned about the lighting, but I told him not to worry. Neither one of us forever going to be a movie star. Amen. So I appreciate Brother Brian. Love him to death. Pray for him and his family, please. Sister Margaret Ketron, her husband, Brother Zeke, both having physical issues. Remember him, please. Brother Larry Hilton, remember him in prayer, please. Again, with physical issues. Sister Rhonda Tiller and Sister Ruth Johnson. Both these ladies are precious to us. I'd like for you to remember them in prayer. I'd like for you to pray for Brother Allen and Sister Sabrina Davis. They're up in New York, kind of confined to their apartment. And he's let me know on several different occasions that they're watching the videos. And I just pray God to make our church a blessing, not only to Brother Allen, but to all of our missionaries, and how we need to remember them in prayer. Continue to pray for our country. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but if something doesn't go right soon, there's the potential in this country for a lot of things going wrong. And there's already incidences where people are just walking out knowing that the law will not be called. So they just walk in, pick up what they want, and walk out with it. And that's a shame. We need to remember our country. Let's remember our healthcare workers and the first responders. Truly, they are on the front line right now. And years ago, I made it a point to thank the veterans, the people that's put their life on the line so we could have these freedoms. And then a couple years ago, when things started going haywire with people shooting the police and disrespecting the law, now I try to, Brother Rose, thank them each time I see one of them for being there for us. And now it's time to thank our doctors and nurses, the healthcare workers that are on the front line every day. Let's pray one for another, our elderly and our shut-in, Sister Reva Horton's over at Crown Cypress, Brother Jim's mom, Pansy Hagee's over there. Let's remember those who are in the jails, who are incarcerated. Always like to say it like Brother Wayne would, remember the boys in jail. Amen. I appreciate Brother Wayne's heart. Let's remember the ministry of the Salvation Army, very important ministry, especially in times like these. I know they're not getting the hot meals like they're accustomed to getting, but when you're hungry, anything will do. And I appreciate the church and what the church does. Brother Steve heading that up and doing a wonderful job. I want to tonight ask you to just pray that soon we'll be able to get back together in a safe manner, and pray that the Lord will just continue to lead in the messages. I know one thing, He has blessed us. This book, it doesn't matter if we're living on the mountain or living in the valley. This book is precious, and I appreciate the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'll make a few announcements. Brother Steve's going to bring the message tonight. I know it'll be a blessing to you. In my heart tonight also to ask you to remember Brother Don McCann. He's doing evangelistic work now, not able to be on the road like he would like to be. He and his precious wife, Sister Linda. Remember Brother Don. He's a blessing to this preacher, and I appreciate him so, so very much. Appreciate you being with us tonight in the video. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. Lord, you said tonight that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Father, we know the only reason tonight that we're declared righteous is because of the Lord Jesus, the precious blood that was shed on the old rugged cross. How I pray tonight, our Father, for these prayer requests, each and every one of them, Lord. Lord, people are hurting tonight. Some, Lord, are hurting physically. Some are hurting emotionally. Some are hurting spiritually tonight. Lord, some are hurting financially. Lord, this is not going to be easy to get through. Lord, I know that you'll get us through. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand, especially in these days, God, that you're faithful. Lord, that your mercy is new every morning. Dear Father, I want to thank you for the help that you've given us here at the church. Lord, it might not seem like much, but the men, Lord, that do the recordings, how grateful we are. Those men, Lord, that helped us this weekend delivering, Lord, the DVDs and the CDs, our Father, to those who don't have internet access. God, how we thank you and praise you for the help. Lord, for the help that you've given us in the ministry here. Thank you for each one. Thank you, Lord, for those that help us physically around the property to get the work done, our Father, that needs to be done. Lord, I just remembered our Father, our dear brother in Bristol, Lord, Brother Tim Crusenberry. His precious wife, Lord, was going to have her eyes checked on today, Lord. Something going, Lord, that's not right. And Lord, I pray for Brother Tim's wife, God, that everything would be all right. Lord, I want to praise you for the good news, Lord, the precious brother that we prayed for, Lord, finding out, our Father, that he did not have the virus. What a blessing, our Father, that he is. Lord, would you take care of our people? God, help us to do our best. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that even in our best, we'd realize, Lord, we need to trust you. Lord, I pray tonight now that you'll just be with Brother Steve. As he comes, Lord, to open the book of life, the precious old Bible. Lord, I pray we'd open our hearts tonight. And I pray, Lord, that each one watching the video would receive a blessing. God will give you glory. Lord, for you're the only one that's worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I praise the Lord tonight, don't you? That he's a God that hears and answers prayer. I feel like quoting a verse of scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. America needs a healing. May God's people return to the throne of grace once again. Let me give you just a couple of announcements. Number one on the offering, you can mail your offering in anytime. Please don't mail cash. I don't think it's safe to do that. But if you're going to send a check, be sure and just put it in an envelope, mail it to the church. If you need to designate part of that for missions or whatever, be sure that Brother Gary knows how that you want that money to go. And then if you need to bring an offering by the church, we had men here on Easter Sunday, and we'll have men here on the last Sunday of the month, and you're welcome to do that if you'd like to do that, okay? Now, this is a special announcement here. Brother Steve is looking for pictures for the shelter-in-place slides that he's doing on Sunday. If you have a picture, something that's special to you, I don't look for my picture to ever be up there, but I've got some grandchildren I wouldn't mind seeing up there sometime. Amen. But if you have a picture that would, something special going on during the shelter-in-place, that would sure be a blessing. All right, we're going to ask Brother Steve to come now. Brother Steve, we're praying for you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for being here tonight, Brother Steve. And thank the Lord for your fellowship, brother. Watch this, Brother Steve. Hold that Bible out there. There you go. Amen.
Way to do it. Appreciate you, Pastor. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to have the time here this evening. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, those who are watching the broadcast, if you'll turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We're going to take our thought and our text from there this evening. And I do appreciate what the pastor said about praying for our missionaries. And, you know, we were really, really sensitive to everything that was going on in March. And here we are in April. It seems like things are maybe getting a little more familiar to us. Hopefully they're getting a little better too. But we still need to be careful. I do look for the time when there's more than six of us here in this building and everybody gets back together. But you just be careful out there and do all the things you need to do to stay healthy until we're back together again. Well, do appreciate you tuning in this evening, and this will be, of course, the Wednesday night service. Wanted to do a call out to Brother Brian. Appreciate him doing Sunday school, and maybe if you all would encourage him and the Lord would open that door, we'll get to see him do Sunday school again a little more often. Sure would be a blessing to us, and what a blessing that is. I want us to look tonight at the writings of Paul, and when you look at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, you begin to see one of really the most important chapters in the Word of God. Paul, writing to that church at Corinth, was dealing with a people who loved God, who wanted a better understanding of Christ and the Word of God, and they were surrounded by a culture that was very much against God. They were surrounded by all kinds of chaos and religion and things that were against God. And Paul was trying to help them to understand the resurrection. So when you look at the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, I want to read a couple of verses for us. And I've got an unusual thought. I hope it'll be a blessing for you this evening. But in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Paul wrote this. He said, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead." In verse 22, we get our thought. "For as in Adam all die, and even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And let's pray this evening. Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to stand here this evening, Lord, to open your word and just to bring forward, Lord, this message you've put on my heart. I don't know who will see this broadcast, but you know every heart, Lord. And I just pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement. It'll be a challenge to those where it's needed. And, Lord, just work through the message, Lord, to change hearts and change lives, to encourage, Lord. And we just trust, Lord, that your word always gets its work done. Lord, we just lay everything at the foot of the cross of Jesus tonight. And, Lord, we ask you to do a great work in this broadcast, we pray. These things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. Now, a little bit about the setting. So here at the church at Corinth, it was a major, major city. It was a metropolis. And in fact, it was a city that was not only given to idolatry, but it was given to incredible wickedness. There was a superlative that was used among the Romans. They said that it would be something like they would do in Corinth. And that was not a compliment. But it meant something that was so wicked or perverse or something that was so distasteful that it would be practiced in this place. So Paul was trying to encourage the believers, the church at Corinth, and he gave this lesson as part of the book of Corinth, this message on the resurrection. And he began to look at the illustration of looking at how sin and how death and how wickedness came into the world by Adam, and how Christ, through his victorious life, through his sinless nature, through his death upon the cross of Calvary, and upon his resurrection, came eternal life. So he gives this contrast between Adam, the first man, and Christ, the first fruit, as it were. And you begin to think about the contrast between those two. Now, Adam, and we'll look at this just for a minute, but Adam was a man who was created perfect, as it were. The Bible tells us that God created Adam in his own image, and that God walked with Adam. He fellowshiped with him. He talked with him. And you look at the contrast between Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was created, as it were, with a body, I guess, that would have lived forever. He was created with the intention of having a long life, The Bible says that even after his sin, he lived for 930 years until God took him. Adam was created in a perfect world, in a perfect place. It was a garden, and there was no gang violence. There was no corrupt society around him. He had all of these ideal things that were in place as barriers, as guards, as it were, around him. And God bestowed his love upon Adam in this perfect world. And then third, I would tell you that Adam's choices led ultimately to evil, to death, to wickedness, to the sin, to the curses upon mankind today. So Adam was created in a place that was perfect. He was intended to live forever, as it were, and the choices that he made brought death for all. Now you contrast that with Paul, because Paul gives us both names in the same verse here in 1 Corinthians. Christ, in Paul's contrast, he was a man who was born to die, born of a virgin, born in a situation of chaos and oppression and the Romans had taken over and taxation and Christ came into the world in the most lowliest of states, born in a place where sheep would be born and those type things, no comfort, no medical condition or no medical care, and yet God chose to bring the Lord Jesus into that situation. So Adam was created in all of this perfection and taken to this great garden, and Jesus, the Son of God, came under such a lowly and humble and really difficult circumstances. What a contrast there. And while Adam made choices that led to death, as it were, physical, spiritual death for those that followed him and mankind, Jesus's choices led to eternal life for all of those who would accept him as their Savior and accept the forgiveness of sins that he brought upon the cross at Calvary. So with that, I want to look at this idea of resurrection through the eyes of Adam and four things that Adam did not know. Four things that Adam did not know. Now, Adam was a very smart man. In fact, I believe that when God created him, there was nothing simple, as it were, about Adam. He was created in perfection, and I believe that he was born with very much innocence. But innocence doesn't mean like a small child who had no real direction or what have you. But Adam was brilliant. I think that the mind that he had was one that understood physics, and it understood through the impartation of God's wisdom and knowledge that Adam understood how tidal currents work and nature and he named all the animals and I believe that he was extremely brilliant. So he was very smart, and yet there were some things that Adam did not know. In fact, the Bible tells us, and if we wanted to turn to the book of Genesis, pretty easy to turn there. Just go to the front of the Bible and Genesis chapter 2. I want you to look at the one rule that's recorded that God gave to Adam. In the book of Genesis, the second chapter, the 15th verse, it says, And the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, God gave Adam, as we know, one rule. And I don't know how long it took, but there was a day when Adam broke that rule, when Adam disobeyed God and he fell into sin. Now, the bad part is we inherited that nature. And there's not a day that goes by that all of us don't fall short of the glory of God and break his word and transgress against what he would have us to do in some fashion. So Adam was a smart guy, and he was able to do all of these amazing things, but there were a few things that Adam did not know. And one is, the Bible tells us here that God had told him that if he began to eat of this fruit, what have you, he would gain the knowledge of good and evil. Now I want you to think about Adam in his situation. Adam was in a good place. There was not the wickedness, there wasn't the sin and what have you. So if Adam knew what evil was, if he understood what it was, I don't believe he'd ever seen it. You understand that he had perhaps the greatest experience with God that any man had ever had here upon the course of this earth, until the point where he broke that fellowship and he broke God's rule. And at that point where Eve ate of the, she was tempted and deceived, and she ate of the fruit, and she gave to her husband, and Adam made a choice, and he chose to eat that fruit. And at that moment in time, his innocence was taken away from him, and he began to have the ability to judge right from wrong. Now, within each one of us, we gain that ability to judge right from wrong. It comes at a different age, I guess, to every person. I can remember back you don't go back and say, well, it was on exactly this day that I understood right from wrong. But there is a point, often in the teenage years, where you begin to realize this is right and that is wrong, and you're able to discern between the two of them. We often equate that to the time when young people, because their hearts are so tender and they're so early in their life, they really come to the point where they're able to understand that they do have this sinful nature and that they are in a position where their life is not acceptable to God. And that's why it's so important, I believe, to have the teen ministry. And I'm so thankful for what Brother Preston does here, what Brother Lance did, and so many before, to present the gospel to these hearts that are at that point where they're just waking up, like Adam did, to understand the difference between good and evil. But Adam had been living in a state of innocence. He had been sheltered from pain. He had been sheltered from wickedness, as it were. The choice he made brought him that knowledge. Adam did not know good and evil until that point when he partook of that fruit. Now, I want you to think about the fact, I want to read a scripture to you. I'll paraphrase from the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it's talking about the heroes of faith, as it were. And it talks about the fact that there was a day when Moses, that beloved servant of God, who God took him from his very birth all the way through his 120 years of life, the phases, every place that God wanted him to be. The Bible tells us in the 25th verse of Hebrews chapter 11 that there was a day when Moses had to make a decision. He had to choose between the good that he knew was with his lineage and the purpose that God had for him to lead the Hebrew children, or the evil, the wickedness that he could have stayed with and inherited, as it were, the kingdom and the blessings, as it were, of the Egyptian empire. But in Hebrews 11:25, it says that Moses rejected those things of Egypt, even though there was pleasure in sin for a season. When Adam began to eat of that fruit, I think that for a moment he had pleasure in that sin for that moment, for that season. But it brought about consequences that I don't believe were imaginable to him. So four things that Adam did not know. The first thing is, until he ate of the fruit and he disobeyed God, he had no knowledge of good and evil, and it came to him instantly. The second thing I think that Adam did not know until that point, and I want you to think about this, are the consequences of his sin. Now, he was a smart guy. He was able to name the animals, and I believe that he was able to build great things. And you know, we get these images in our mind, and if we're not careful, sometimes they're just so easy to form, and sometimes they're just wrong. And we think about, what was Adam doing in the garden? Well, he was keeping it. And what does that mean? I think he was a builder. I think he was an architect. I think he was an engineer. I think he was brilliant. I think he was a very strong, capable man who was able to work with his hands, and God provided to him the knowledge and the tools and what have you, that he was a builder. And I think about the things that he would have been experiencing up to that point. He was smart, but I wonder if he gave a second thought to what would happen after he transgressed God's law. And by the way, I wonder, in our own lives, do we stop and think? You know, do we count to 10? You know, do we take 30 minutes of time out for ourselves before we do the things we ought not to do? I think about Paul. Paul said, those things I would do, I do not. Those things I would not do, those I do. What is that time in there, in that frame? I don't know. But I can tell you this, that in the 22nd verse, the sinful nature of man is pinned on Adam, specifically and accurately by Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die." When Adam made this choice for himself, Eve had already made her choice. When Adam made his choice, what did he do? He plunged every descendant of Adam and Eve into the consequences of sin. Everybody today pays that price because of what this one man did. I wonder, in our own lives, do we stop and think about, well, if I do this, how is it going to affect my children? I have used this term many, many times. And if it'll be a blessing to you tonight, I hope that you'll remember it. There's nobody here that's perfect. Six or seven of us here in the building, whatever that number is, there's none of us here that's perfect. And I'm the least perfect among all of them. But I'm going to tell you that I love my wife, I love my children, and I have determined through these years, our 35th wedding anniversary was just a few days ago, and I have determined all these years, Pastor, that to the best of my ability, I will not write a check that my family has to pay. Adam wrote a check that we're still paying today. You understand that statement? If we stop and think about the consequences of our sin on our spouse, on our children, on our church, how about on our Lord Jesus Christ, who deserves none of that? Maybe it'll help us to make other decisions when temptation is right in front of us. But Adam, he fell into sin. And I don't think that he knew the consequences of his sin on humanity. Sin has always brought about pain and suffering. It brought about immediately separation for Adam. It caused him to be expelled from the Garden of Eden. From that day forward, his life was not easy. He toiled, as it were. A few years down the road, as it were, he sees one of his sons rise up and brutally murder the other son. That son then, who was the survivor, the murderer, he becomes an outcast. And I wonder, for the 930 years that Adam walked the earth, when he saw generation after generation after generation come and truthfully grow more wicked, it seemed like, with each generation, I wonder, Pastor, if he didn't think every day about the pain that he had brought upon humanity. Did he think about the consequences of sin? The murder of Abel, the exile of Cain, the watching of the world as it grew more wicked, up to the point where the Bible tells us that by Genesis, the sixth chapter, God himself had repented that he had ever made man. He was so disappointed with what mankind had become from this one sin. Now, Brother Wayne's not here, and he and Brother Danny and others, they've been so faithful to go to the jail. And I get a chance to just partake a little bit in that. But I'm going to tell you, you talk to a lot of these men in jail. And now some of them, you know, they're habitual criminals, and they're there because they make the same choice over and over and over again. But I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of people there. They'll tell you, I did this, I shouldn't have done it, it was wrong, I'm here to pay my debt to society. The consequences of sin caught up with them immediately at that point. In the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, the sixth verse, paraphrasing, God said that by the time that Noah's generation had come around, and I don't know what the exact date is, let's call that 1,200 years, more or less after creation, Adam had been off of the scene a couple of hundred years, but by that time, Genesis 6:6 says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, of man's heart, was only evil continually. Only evil continually. I don't believe that Adam knew the consequences of the sin that it would bring upon humanity. So four things that Adam did not know. He didn't know the difference between good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't know the consequences of his sin upon humanity. The third thing I don't think that Adam knew is the price that the Lord Jesus Christ would pay because of Adam's sin. Now, I want you to think just for a minute about this situation in the Garden of Eden where Adam was there. The Bible tells us that he was created, he was created a full adult. He was a beautiful adult. He was strong, and he was created in the image of God. And the Bible tells us that because of his condition, no sin in his life, that God would come and talk with him. He would come and walk with him. He would have sweet fellowship with him. And I want you to think about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's my own personal belief, and we can ask one day when we're in heaven, that it was the Lord Jesus Christ in some deified form and some deity that came and walked with Adam. Now, I said that to say this. God knew Adam, and Adam knew God, and they were friends. Abraham became his friend a bit later. But Adam walked with God in the garden, and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was his personal friend. I have some good friends on this earth, and I tell you what, they're a blessing to me. I've got some folks that they check on me and they ask me how I'm doing. And when I was down in the with the knee injury for those months, they kept me encouraged. They are a blessing to me. And I hope that my friends know this, and I hope I show this, that I would do anything to help my friends. And my friends would, I believe, would do anything I might ask to help me within reason and what have you. Christ was a friend of Adam. I don't think that Adam knew the price that the Lord Jesus Christ would have to pay to redeem man from the wickedness of sin. I don't believe Adam had a clue. I want you to think about the description, if you'll turn with me, and I know this is real simple tonight, but in the book of Romans, I want us to look at some simple verses, and we're going to apply these verses back to Adam and the choice that he made. We use these, in evangelism, we use these to help people to understand the situation with man and the enmity that's between a sinful man and a holy God. But in the book of Romans, the third chapter, the 23rd verse, and remember, we're going to apply these to Adam in the Garden of Eden and the choice he made there. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That is so true, and it began with Adam. We turn to Romans, the 6th chapter, and the 23rd verse, and it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That death that came to Adam, that spiritual death, that brokenness, as it were, and eventually physical death that came to him in the Garden of Eden. We're still under that same pretext and under that same consequences today. You turn back a page in Romans, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. It says, "But that God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That love that God commended to us, it began with Adam. You ever stop and think about that? God could have, in his infinite abilities, in his capabilities, in his infinite ability to do whatever God wants to do, he could have wiped Adam out. He could have wiped Eve out. He could have created a new man and a new woman and just started over again and had Adam 2.0 and Eve 2.0. But he didn't do that. He could have killed them physically. You know, he could have destroyed them at that point. But what did God do? The Bible tells us that he took the life of some animals. There was a sacrifice that was made. He made coats for them, skins for them. He, through his love, put them out of the garden. He continued to have fellowship with them. The Bible tells us that just a few years later, he's found giving counsel and guidance and encouragement to Adam's son. God didn't abandon them. And this verse that we see, we think, wow, you know, this happened a long time ago. And, you know, wow, God could never love me because I'm such a terrible, wicked person. And if you only knew the things I knew about myself like God knows, then you'd understand why he doesn't love me. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're absolutely wrong. Adam had everything going for him. He committed sin in the Garden of Eden, and God showed him love even after that. This verse that God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was true at creation. That was true in the days of Noah, when people rejected God except Noah, who put his family in the ark. That was true in the days of Abraham. That was true with Saul of Tarsus when he was on the road to Damascus and God called him. He was persecuting the church. He was on his way to destroy the church even yet again. And God spoke to him and changed his life and saved his soul on that day. Even while he was yet a sinner, God commanded his love. So I want you to look at just a couple other verses. Turn a few pages over in the book of Romans to the 10th chapter. I'm going to look at two more verses. And in Romans 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So glad for that. And I think about what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we go up to the 9th verse, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart," get this, because it ties in with Adam, "and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." In the text I gave you tonight, Paul writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he said, "For since man, by man came death," that was Adam, By man came also the resurrection of the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. For as in Adam, that first man, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Isn't it good to know that Jesus died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary? And that when he rose on that third and glorious day, the resurrection fulfilled the gospel message. Now, I want you to think about the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came born of a virgin. The Bible tells us that he led a perfect, sinless life. He preached. He talked about the new relationship with God that would be brought through the sacrifice of his body and his blood. People didn't understand it at that point. He healed the lame, and he raised the dead, as it were. And he went to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins. All of that wouldn't have been enough, but the resurrection made it full. On that third morning, when he got up out of that grave, he had fulfilled all of the Scripture. He had demonstrated he was indeed who he had said that he was throughout his entire ministry. He is a life-changing, chain-breaking Savior who is awesome in every way. Adam brought sin into the world. Jesus brought deliverance from sin for those who would call out to him as their Savior and accept the goodness and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. Adam wasn't worthy. Paul wasn't worthy. Steve isn't worthy. You're not worthy. And yet it is the gift of God that Jesus has brought through his life and through his vicarious resurrection. So four things that Adam did not know. He didn't know the knowledge of good and evil. He did not know, I don't believe, the consequences of the sin, of his sin upon humanity. I don't believe he knew the price that Jesus would have to pay that we might have forgiveness of that sin. And then the fourth thing that I don't believe that Adam knew, I want us to look at here in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Look at verse 9 and 10. And I want you to look at this simple thought that Paul gave us. Paul, talking to the church, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And I brought a message on this recently, but in verse 10 he says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." We think about the letter to the church at Ephesus that Paul had written. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul writes that, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We're saved today. We can have eternal life. We can have an eternal position with God because of what Jesus did when we didn't deserve it. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Adam and Eve saw that grace. I think in the world around us today, how many forms of religion that there are. People that say, if you do this, if you do that, and if you give this, and if you go there, and if you touch this, and you know, what have you. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. I'm so glad today that by grace, there's nothing I can do to add to the quality or the completeness of my salvation. And I'm so glad that through Christ, that is a finished work. I wonder if Adam, for those 930 years, and whatever portion of that was outside of the Garden of Eden, I wonder if he thought back every day to how good God had been to him. Just recently, a couple of months ago, I celebrated or recognized what would be my 40th anniversary, 40 years of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to come into my heart when I was 18 years old. Never regretted that for a day. Now, I'm telling you, I've regretted a lot of things I did that I shouldn't have done, as Paul said, and I regret a lot of things I should have done that I didn't do. But I can tell you that I have never gotten over what God did in my heart. The forgiveness of sins when I wasn't worthy, the path that he has put my feet upon. I thank him every day for the family that he's given me, the blessings of my wife, my children, my friends, my church, the work that he's allowed me to do when I was so unworthy, to spread the gospel and to be a small light, as it were, in this dark world around us. Folks, grace isn't just the salvation of God. It's all of the other things that He does to show us that He loves us. The goodness, the miracles that He does in our life that we just take for granted, that something just went right. Something just happened, you know, it all worked out. It all works out because God loves His children and because He's so good to us. So four things here that Adam did not know. I don't believe he knew the knowledge of good and evil. Did not know the consequences of sin and what it would have on humanity. Did not know the price that Christ would have to pay for us to have redemption from that sin. And I don't believe he knew God's grace until he needed it. I would encourage those who are watching this broadcast, and I'm dead serious, that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's time. This world around us today is a very uncertain place. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'll leave that to the nightly news to do that. But I'm going to tell you that there were people who in January and February and March thought that they were just as strong and able and capable as they could be. And they went to the wrong place at the wrong time and touched the wrong thing. And their life was taken from them, or they were made weak or what have you. None of us has any guarantees about how many days that we have left. That's the truth. I'm here this evening, and truthfully, before this broadcast gets on the air, my life might be over. An auto accident, who knows? But I'm telling you, folks, that you need to make peace with God. And if you feel that Holy Spirit working within you, drawing you and helping you to understand that you, like Adam, have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that you, like Adam, have the consequences of sin upon your life, and that you recognize that Jesus paid the price that you might have forgiveness of your sins, I would encourage you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, to ask God to come into your heart. Think about these scriptures in the book of Romans I read for you tonight. We're all in the same boat. We all needed a Savior because of the choices that Adam had made in the Garden of Eden. Four things, at least, that he didn't know. But I'm glad today that through the Word of God, we can know about God. We can know about this Son of God, this Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He's done for us upon the cross of Calvary. Let me close for us in prayer. Dear Lord, I do thank You for the privilege to stand here tonight. And Lord, I know that Adam was a real person. We'll get to meet him one day in heaven. We'll get to ask him questions about things that we really don't have complete understanding of. But Lord, I thank You for Adam, but I thank You most of all for Jesus. What Adam undid, Jesus came and repaired. Lord, when there was a bridge that man could not work his way across or build or what have you, Jesus came and hung between two thieves and died a horrible, terrible death, all of his blood drained from him, that we might have forgiveness of sins. He took upon himself, Lord, the punishment of the world, the punishment of Steve, that I might have forgiveness of sins. And Lord, I pray for those who are watching this broadcast that they'll just see the simplicity of the message, that God does love them. There is no other way to have eternal life but through Jesus, and it's given to all who would freely accept it. Lord, these things we ask in Your blessed name. Amen. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you again soon.